Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. If you have not, visit our updated and revised website at wigambaptistchurch.org. Katie has been working on it, and she's done an excellent job. And a lot of information that you may need or you would be interested in can be found on the website. So use it. I just want to thank Katie for taking on that task. If you've ever dealt with websites, it can be overwhelming sometimes. But I want to thank her for that. Also, the church has changed internet providers and no longer has landlines to the church or the pastorium. You can reach the church by texting or calling the pastor's cell phone or the deacon's cell phones. And they are listed on the back of the bulletin. So I would encourage you to put those in your phones and all, and just be reminded that if you did call the church phone, the landline, though, I think it's 4306. But we discussed it and looked at it, and to be honest with you, 99% of the phone calls we get on the landline are either scams, spam, or someone trying to sell you something. So please just make a note of that. Lottieman Christmas offering, we have met our goal, as you can see, for the candles, $1,500. We are still collecting. Even if you don't, if you want to give, you can continue to give even after today. If you want to give, and we'll make sure it gets to the Lottie Moon. Today at 5 p.m., we will be taking, Christmas is over. Christmas is every day, excuse me. I shouldn't have said that. But the 25th of December is over. Let's just say that. We'll be taking the Christmas decorations down, and help is needed. So if you can meet us back here at the church around 5 o'clock, we'll take the Christmas decorations down and store them. Tonight, the services will be held in the original church. That's our fifth Sunday. Remember, we started that a few months ago, so we will meet in the original church tonight for our worship service. We'll have prayer meeting this Wednesday, January 1st at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Sunday, I thought December was full, but January's full also. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sunday, January 5th at 9 o'clock is our monthly breakfast, Sunday school breakfast. So be here at 9 a.m. next Sunday for breakfast. Wednesday, January 8th, fellowship meal and church conference at 6:30. We'll be having tacos. Sign up sheet on the table as you enter the sanctuary for items that are needed for that. That's January the 8th. We're going to finish this, y'all. January the 16th. 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting. It's at El Bethel. If you want like to meet, we meet here around 6, and we can go out there together, or you can just meet us right down the road at El Bethel. Remember that. Monday, January the 20th, at 7:30 p.m. It's our turn to provide the meal for the English as second language class at First Baptist in Cairo. If you'd like to help with that, just meet us there in the fellowship hall at First Baptist around 7:30. We plan on feeding around 8 p.m. So please remember that. Tuesday, January 21st, 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting here at the church. Thursday, January 23rd at 7 o'clock is our Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. So you might better hold on to this bulletin. If not, they'll be in next week. Any other announcements? If there's no other announcements, birthdays. Don't kill the messenger. But I was told, and now Ashton, yesterday, Miss Shauna was pointing at you. So she the one that, that's okay. Any other birthdays, y'all, this past week? If not, happy birthday, Ashton, and Harold?
You don't sing that to Bert?
No, you can sing that.
You can help me.
Do your greatest.
Everybody's in the key of C minor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
As we open up our worship service today, I just want to remind everyone, if you're not in, what a way to start off a new year. Next will be the first Sunday. Next Sunday will be January the 5th. I want to encourage you to come join us for Sunday school. We have classes for all ages. Everyone is invited, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You can come at 9 and enjoy breakfast with us next Sunday, and then just come join us and give us the opportunity to meet you and greet you and love on you, but most of all to share God's word with you, because we still believe school is a good thing, and Sunday school is a good thing. So I want to encourage you to attend Sunday school. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here, Lord, this Sunday, Lord. And Lord, we come to a time now that we've had Sunday school, Lord. We've had a time of announcements and a time of celebrating birthdays and all, Lord. And Lord, we enjoy that, Lord. And that's important, Lord. But it's time now to come and praise our Lord and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray today, Lord, that as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord, that God is in control. Lord, many times we just don't expect to see the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray that we see the Holy Spirit move today, Lord, as He guides and directs us, Lord. And Lord, as we worship our Lord, and Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord. I know that he's had a busy and stressful 2 or 3 days, Lord. He's been on the road for quite a few hours, Lord, and I just want to lift him up to you today, Lord. I want to lift his mom up to you and just continue to pray for her, Lord, and her recovery from her sickness, Lord. But Lord, I just pray today, Lord, as he stands before us, Lord, that the power of God is with him. I know the Holy Spirit is, Lord, and give him the strength that he needs today, Lord. I know you will to proclaim your word, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Well, if you can, please stand this morning as we worship our Lord in song, starting with hymn 23, God is so good. Thank you.
To the new year, and my mom's supposed to be hopefully coming home today or going home today from the hospital, and so appreciate everyone's prayers and thoughts of her. And we know that God is still in control, still on his throne, no matter what would have happened. And so I just thank you for your thoughts and prayers. With that being said, Wednesday is 2025. First day. I remember almost 25 years ago, 25 years ago, they said Y2K. What did that mean? That meant that they believed everything in the world was going to stop. Remember? Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember that. So. But they did. They thought that too, man, when the clock hit 2000, everything was going to just shut down. Everybody's going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And here we are, almost 25 years later, we're still here. With the thought of a new year comes a thought of new hope. Amen? Mm-hmm. I mean, when a baby comes into the world, you think of what? Hope. When Jesus was born, what do we look at his birth as a sign of? It's a sign of hope. Well, I want to challenge us today in our hope. But I want to do so with the thought of looking forward to the new year. But I'm not going to ask you to wait till Wednesday to start the new year. I want you to go ahead and be practicing this over the next couple of days. That way, when Wednesday comes, it should already be a practice of yours. But what I'm going to challenge us to do is to be in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. You can know what the news says because you can look at the left-wing media and the right-wing media, and you still can't trust either one of them fully, can you? But you can take the Word of God literally. You can take the Word of God figuratively, and you can take the Word of God historically, and you can also look to the Word of God for what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and in the future. And you can take that to the bank. You don't have to doubt what the Word of God says. You can trust it. You can believe it. You can put your hope, your future into it, because it is true. It is faithful. And God always does what He says He will do. He is a faithful God, even when we fail to be faithful to Him. He is faithful even when we forget to spend time in His Word or to pray. And so we all need to be challenged, because as I've often said, if you don't make plans, you plan to what? You plan to fail. New Year's resolutions. How many of you make them? Come on, let's see a show of hands. Anybody make New Year? Why do you not make them anymore? Did you used to make them? Most of the time, we make them with the hope of changing, right? We make New Year's resolutions with a goal. Maybe it's to lose weight. Maybe it's to exercise more. Maybe it is to be more loving or caring. Be a better person, to eat right, whatever it may be. But as believers, we should have the goal of learning to be, trying to be more holy in the new year. That should be a goal of every Christian, to be better today than I was yesterday. Now, some days I'm going to blow it, but that doesn't mean I should quit trying. You know, it's like the old saying as a kid, if you fall off your bike, what do? You just throw it in the trash? You get back on it and ride it again. Same way with your horse. If he throws you off, don't let him get away with it, because if you let him get away with it, he's going to do it again next time. Same thought process here. In our lives, we need to realize, as I said a minute ago, God is faithful even when we're not. He already knows what you're going to do today, what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to fail to do today or tomorrow. And He already knows that. But you know what? He doesn't base His love for you according to you. He bases His love for you according to His nature, who He is, who His characteristic is. And God is a God of love. He is love. He is the definition of love, and so even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And what He longs for is like the father who longed for his prodigal son to return home. We all get out there from time to time off the right path, and we get into doing things we shouldn't do, and God longs for us to return to Him. So He can shower us with His love, His grace, and His mercy. I want us this morning, if you will, to turn to, that was a long introduction, amen. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1, because I want to use what Paul says here in the opening of his letter to the church at Colossae. And I want us to put that into practice today for us, to see how Paul prayed for the church, but also what my prayer for Wigan Baptist Church is, and for each one of you in this coming new year. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1 in verse 1, and listen to what Paul says. He starts out the letter saying, who wrote this? He did. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by whose will? God's will. God moved, God did by the will of God, and he was with Timothy, our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our brother, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who has also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Listen here. This is Paul's prayer. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have read your word. God, I pray today, Lord, much like Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, that the church, the people, the saved that are gathered here today at Wigan Baptist Church, Lord, would come to know you in fullness. Lord, to understand and perceive what your will is through your word. Lord, that we may have full knowledge, Lord, of what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. But Lord, we have to have a surrendered heart, a surrendered life to be obedient to you. So Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just use this time, Lord, hiding behind a cross, Lord, that your words would be heard today and not mine. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing we realize is that we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you what? Let me clarify this, because a prosperity preacher will say, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to give you every single thing you want. You're going to have that new 4x4, 2025. You're going to have a boat, a yacht. You're going to have every. That's not, because if I'm in the will of God, then that means my desire should be the will of God to be done. What God's will is, that should become my will. And so as I delight myself in doing the will of God and knowing the will of God, then he's going to give me the desires of my heart. But I have to understand that as I'm surrendering my life to him, he's changing my heart to be more like his. It's not about me. It's about doing his will. And so we have to realize that it's not just about, well, name it and claim it, all that stuff. I believe some of it to be true, but reality says when I give my heart to the Lord and I'm fully seeking to do his will, my will is going to change to become his will in my life. Paul prays for the church. He says, number one, that they needed to have perception. In verse 9 of Colossians, it tells us that Paul prayed first and foremost that they would know what the will of God is. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of what? His will. Not Paul's will, not my will, but God's will. That's what Paul prayed for. He prayed that they would come to full knowledge, to full understanding of the will of God. How can you know the will of God for your life? How can you know it? Well, to understand the will of God, we have to know what He wants us to do. And we do that through His Word, first and foremost. We can't do His will unless we know what His will is, right? So we have to come to the full knowledge, the full understanding, to be able to perceive what it is that God wants me to do. Listen to me. If you get up in the morning with no plans, what are you going to go to bed having done? You're not going to do anything. You might peel around, but you're not really going to accomplish anything. But if you get up, let's put it this way. If you know you have to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, what do you need to do tonight? You better set your alarm, number one, right? Maybe go ahead and pick out what you're going to wear, get the kids ready, get everything set up, make sure you got stuff for breakfast. If you're a breakfast person, you're going to make plans for tomorrow. Well, it's the same thing with us. We need to make plans to know the will of God. And we cannot know the will of God unless we are in the Word of God. I've often said that the Bible is like a roadmap, like a GPS. If I want to know where God wants me to go, I need to read His Word. Because it's not right. I can put my pillow, my Bible under my pillow and sleep on it all night, but guess what? Is that going to help me any? It doesn't work through osmosis, right? I have to get in it. I have to read it. And you know, we are so privileged today. How many of y'all have a cell phone? Is it a smartphone? Is it smarter than you? Mine's definitely smarter than me. If you've got a phone app, you can have smartphone, you can have a Bible app on your phone. I like using the YouVersion Bible app. You can get on it and you can set it to remind you every day to read the verse of the day. That's a good start. But why don't you get into a Bible reading plan and read what it tells you to read. And you can do that. And you can read through it. And as you read through it, you learn to meditate on the Word of God. And then God, when you read this section and then you read another section, and God starts drawing in pieces of the puzzle together, you have a better understanding. Because here's the number one excuse for people not reading the Bible. You know what it is? I don't understand it. I don't care who the major writers are. If you don't read the whole book, you're not going to understand what's going on either. Right? But as we read the Word of God, we let it soak into our hearts and minds. And it can't soak into my mind unless I take it in through my ears or my eyes, unless you're blind and can read Braille or something like that, then you understand. But as I read it, as I try to understand it, as I meditate on it, and what it means, and what God is saying to me, and who the characters are, and understand what's going on in their lives, because you ask the same question you did in English class. Who, what, when, where, why? List it out on a piece of paper. Start studying, and we'll do a study sometime on studying the Bible, but going through it and find out, what is it saying? Who's it saying to? Why is all this happening? And how does this apply to me? What does God want me to do with this? Why did He put it there? Because Paul said that God wrote all these things for our what? Admonition. For our learning, for our understanding. So we have to spend time in the Word of God. And you say, well, I don't have time. I've told you this story before too, but the lady across the road from us when I was growing up, Miss Flora Bell Nettle, said you make time to do the things you want to do. So the question is, do you want to know what God's will for you is? Do you want to understand what He wants you to do? Because you know what? I think the saddest thing that happens in a person's life is if they get to the end of their life and they look back on their life and say, I wonder if I did what God wanted me to do. If they look back on their life and say, what did I accomplish for God? Because if you don't know what God's will for you is, then guess what? You're probably going to go through your day tomorrow, through next week, through next month, through next year, through the next 40 years or however long you got left on this earth. And you're going to get to the end and you're going to say, I didn't accomplish anything. What did I do for the Lord? Who did I lead to the Lord this past year? He also prayed that they would know the will of God, but that they might also understand and perceive the word of God in verse 10. See, this is the goal, that you may walk worthy. Walk worthy. What does worthy mean? How many of you have ever seen on a courtroom setting TV show where they're on top of the judge's desk, there's a set of balances? There's scales, we call them balance, scale. To walk worthy means that my life, my daily conduct, because that's really what walk means, it means daily conduct or my lifestyle, should be equal in weight to the sacrifice that God paid on my behalf. I don't know about you, but I fall short every day. Every day. But my goal should be not to say, well, I just can't do it, so I'm not going to try. My attitude should be through the power of God, through the one who led the Egyptians, or the Israelites out of Egypt, right, and destroyed the Egyptian army. That same God, that same Spirit of God He's taken up residence in my life, and because of him, I have the power to make a change, right? Through him. He gives me that power to make a change, to come in and say, okay, Tim, you're not living right. You know, shouldn't have that thought, shouldn't have that attitude, you know, just whatever it may be. And God uses that, and he starts nudging me, you know, nudging. Yeah, so you need to straighten up, Tim. You know what you do to your kids when they're cut up in church? You nudge them. And then if they keep doing it, what do? You give them that look. You know, it cuts holes through them. And they know when they get home they're going to be in trouble. Well, same with God wants us. He's not going to force us, but his desire is for us to walk worthy of him, to live a life that is dedicated and holy and righteous, because he, too, is righteous. We need to walk worthy of him. Why? Because if we're not walking worthy, that means we're walking away. Think about that. If we're not walking worthy, it means we're walking away. We're walking opposite of him. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are what? Agreed. Unless they are agreed. And if I have sin in my life and I have unconfessed in my life, that means I am not walking in agreement with God. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful. What fruit do you have in your life today that's more than you had last year? Is there a change, or are you just floating by? Is God making a difference in you? Are you walking closer to him, or is there more distance between you and him because you're going off on your own path? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of who? Of God. Do you know more today about God than you did last year? At the end of 2023, do you know more today about him, about his will? Are you bearing more fruit than you did last year at this time? You see, it all comes back to reading our Bible. I think, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I think the number one way you can tell a Christian wants to have a closer relationship with the Lord, they spend time in the Bible. They spend time in God's Word. But if you're letting sin, well, I can't remember who this quote from old preacher years and years ago, might be D.L. Moody, I'm not sure. Or might be Adrian Rogers either. Sin will keep you from the Word of God, or the Word of God will keep you from sin. Which one is true in our lives this morning? Are we in the Word of God to that can make the difference to lead me to sin less? Or am I shutting my Bible and saying I don't want to hear it because I want to do my thing? I want to do my will, my way. Which one is true for us? Read your Bible. We all need it. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Paul prayed that the church would be able to understand and perceive the will of God. But he also prayed for their prosperity. You say, well, how do you say that? I'm not talking about prosperity preachers. Amen. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is Paul in this verse right here. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful. I'm not going to pray that God will bless you with $100 million or $1.1 billion or whatever the mega millions or billions is that go around, whoever wants. What I'm going to pray for, like Paul prayed for, is that in your fruit bearing, you're going to increase in 2025. That through prosperity that God is granting to you, that you're going to increase in your knowledge of him, you're going to increase in your work for him, you're going to do all those things and be fruitful. As I've already stated, in your walk, your conduct, how you live your life. My prayer is that you'll walk closer to the Lord, but also that you be prosperous in the work that you do for the Lord. How many of you like to work a job that you see no results in? Anybody? I used to love working in the sawmill because at the end of the day, you know what you did? You could see what you did. You knew what you had accomplished. Paul is pretty much praying that same prayer for the church at Colossae, and as a byproduct of that, he's praying that for us today, that as we work and we gain the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and we know the will of God and how to put it into our life because we've been reading the Word of God, then our work for God will be prosperous. There should be fruit from our labors. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, must be 12 o'clock, amen. this is what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. What does it mean to be steadfast? Well, you can about interchange those two words. Steadfast means that you can't, your feet are unmovable, that no matter what comes along, you're going to stand solid, immovable. But then he also says, abounding in what? The work of the Lord. He's challenging the church. He said, listen, stand firm in your faith. Stand steadfast. Don't let anything come along, whether it's people or circumstances or situations. Don't let anything come along and move you in your faith. Always abound in the work of who? In the Lord. Why is that important? It's important because sometimes you plant seeds and you don't always reap the harvest, right? You might plant the seed and 10 years later somebody else may come along and reap the harvest. This one says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Man, Paul prayed that the people of God would be able to know the will of God, but also to know the Word of God. And in return, the outcome is to be fruitful. How can we do that? Well, I think we do it through the power of God. Colossians 1:11. Put that up. Listen to what he says. Strengthen. What does strengthen mean? Means to have more power than you did before. Right? To be strengthened. How do you get stronger? By sitting around doing nothing? Or by working it? How do you grow your faith? Not by sitting on it. By exercising it, by letting God use you and being obedient to His will and His word. And as we practice that in our lives, we become strengthened. And it's because of Him, not because of us, but we're being obedient to Him because we want to know His will through His word. And as we do that, we increase in our work and productivity. We're more prosperous in those areas in what we do. And as we do that, we become strengthened in our faith. We become stronger. We have the power, not our power, but His power. Strengthened with all might. According to what? Here we go. We talk about this in Sunday school. It's not what Moses did. It's about what God did. According to His glorious power. Because here's the trap that we can all fall into. You see something happening, you see the Spirit of God move, and you see people's lives change, and we can get real big-headed sometimes, right? Because somehow we think that maybe we had something to do with that. But just like Moses, it wasn't Moses doing that, it was God who was doing it all. And just like in your life and my life, it is the power of God that is giving us the strength. It is the power of God through the Word of God, through the will of God, who's accomplishing His plans and purposes for our lives. And as He does that, He does want to use us. Amen? But here's the thing. It is a privilege to work for God. It is a privilege. It's not a burden. Some of the greatest days of my life outside of getting married and having three kids and my grandbaby, right, is seeing people come to the Lord. Seeing people who turn their lives around, maybe people who have gone astray or have come back home. It is seeing God work in people's lives. That is the greatest job in the world. But you know what? God doesn't just call preachers to do it. He doesn't just call missionaries to do it. He doesn't just call evangelists to do it. He calls who? The church. Because can I tell you, I'm no different than you. Amen? God may give me a specific calling to be the pastor leading back the church, but He's called you to do something too. To be a witness for Him. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you're working, He's calling you to do those same things according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering. What's the last word of that verse? With joy. Can I tell you, sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to have a whole lot going on in your life and your world's going to get turned upside down. But can I tell you to always turn to the Word of God? Always turn to God's Word and always ask yourself the question when you're going through that tough time is, Lord, how can I glorify You in this? Lord, it's not right. I'm hurt. I don't feel good about this. And I got all this going on, and Lord, I want to trust You. But you know what? For some of us here this morning, we might say, well, I can't grow in my knowledge and will of God. I, 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 because I'm not saved. I've never trusted him as my Lord and Savior. So for the first step for you today may be to come forward and say, Brother Tim, I need to know Jesus. I need to know him. I need to trust him as my personal Lord and Savior. For some of us, we might say, I need to come down and just say, okay, Lord, my resolution this year is to grow closer to you. In my walk, in my work, in my faith, in my fruitfulness. And Lord, help me to do it with joy. Help me to do it with joy. Help me to realize that somehow, some way, 8:28 comes in. Romans 8:28 comes in play. What does that say, y'all, to me? For we know that all things work for good to those who... So here's the thing. Realize that even in your hard times, even in your circumstances, even in your situation, God is working behind the scenes. God is doing something you may not be aware of, but somebody's watching you. How are you handling it? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, for those who may not know you today, I pray today would be the day. For those who have gone astray, Lord, maybe they made promises to you in the past and haven't kept up with it. Lord, I pray today you would just, Lord, help them to confess that sin to you. But Lord, as we make challenges for ourselves for the new year, Lord, I pray that we would include coming to know you better. Lord, that we may know you more fully and that we may be more prepared to do the work you've called us to do. Lord, help us to be fruitful in our walk with you and Lord, just in our witness too. Lord, as we go through life, Lord, help us to be the exact image of our Father. Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to love. Help us to nurture. Help us to correct. Lord, help us just speak truth into people's lives. But Lord, so many times we just repeat something somebody's told us in the past. And we don't take the time to search it out in Scripture. So Lord, I pray that this year, Lord, our goal would be to put you and your word first place in our lives, Lord, so that we may know your will and your word for our lives. Lord, help us to respond accordingly to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, guard our hearts and minds against anything that would come between us and you. Lord, help us to have new boldness in this new year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.